Our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, joins us this morning to discuss technology in our automobiles. He is an app developer, consultant, trainer, and author specializing in Apple technology. He is the creator of Minutes Machine for iPad, the Meeting Management app, and Saranac River Trail app, a guide to the trail that includes location-based updates as well as social media tools. You can find out all the stuff that we talk about and about his work by going to northcountryconsulting.com. And what Jesse does is he'll put links and articles and discussion points on the website. So you can go there and see a detailed of what we've been discussing, or at least attempting to discuss in this in this half hour. It's always good to see you. Welcome. How are you?
Good to be here. I'm fine.
Excellent. So I found when you floated this idea, I thought it was fascinating because I don't think we've ever discussed it. And it's something that I find that I'm personally fascinated in, but like many things, people don't quite understand what's going on in their automobile when they buy it. And let me just ask you this. This is my setup in the form of a question. When I bought my most recent car, my car does all kinds of incredible technological things that work with my phone and my iPad and all the other stuff that I shouldn't be using when I'm driving. But the person who sold me the car had no idea how to use it either. And then they hand you a manual which may or may not correspond with the actual model that you have. And while I figured it out, it does take some doing. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with
I'm trying to think how to frame a response that doesn't make me too many enemies.
Okay, I didn't mean that as a by the way as a hostile question.
No, it just seems that the training there is when I started looking to buy a car.
Yes.
Because I was driving a 10-year-old enormous car, and it was really, I want 10 years and it was just much too big. It was VW Beetle.
Oh, okay. That was too big?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So I now have a smaller car.
Good Lord, what are you in now? I thought you were in like a Yukon or something.
I'm in something called a Chevy Spark.
Okay.
Which is reminiscent, they say it's not, but it's reminiscent to me of the old Geo line.
Yeah.
And I had one or two of those. They're quite compact. I like it. And I also noticed when you look at ads for cars, they're written, as most advertising is, in a foreign language. And I learned that a word that appears in those ads, and sometimes also I believe in real estate and apartment ads and hotel ads, has a new meaning that I hadn't been used to. And the word is European.
Okay. Like a European design.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what one would think. You know, it might be sort of, sort of elegant, you think of, whatever.
Right.
But European in general, when applied to cars and hotel rooms, means very small.
Oh, very, very small. Okay, yes.
You know, a breath of Europe means cozy.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that I learned. One of the things that I also learned is that the technology in cars, let me put this in a more, sorry to be so inarticulate.
No, it
hits me occasionally.
Always very.
What's happening is that cars started out as devices for transportation. That's sort of like horses and buggies and so forth. And then we added things to them, like a nice clock in the dashboard,
right.
A radio.
Well, thank God.
Cup holders.
Gave us a job, right, yes.
So more and more things were added onto the cars. And what I'm seeing now, I think, is that it's sort of a difficult transition, and I think it's being made successfully, but it's a little difficult, as you said, to get all of the components of the automotive industry up to speed as we are adding new things into the car. And that includes salespeople.
Right.
So that if you go in and you say, how does the Android Auto app work in this car? How does CarPlay work? Even does CarPlay work in this car at all? The answer you're likely to get is, with a good salesman, that they'll check and get back to you. Because in addition, because these are new things that are happening there. And so it's really difficult to be up on everything. And the issue that we're dealing with also as consumers, and fortunately it doesn't take too long to get used to it, is that some of the technologies in the car are duplicative. So you can get into a car and the car will have navigation built into it now.
Mm-hmm.
It may have a connection so you can connect your phone to it. But you can also separately use a smartphone in the car, even when it's not connected, and you can have navigation on your smartphone. You can also now plug your phone into a car that supports Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, and you'll get a combination of the features of the two. So it's a little difficult to keep track of what is what in the car.
I found it interesting because I remember one of the people when I was lamenting this on perhaps my first tune-up, and the person said to me, "Well, you know, it's like an Apple product. You don't get a manual with that. It's intuitive." And I thought, "Well, no, it's not." No, there's no way that I can intuit that I'm supposed to take the right-hand dial, press it 5 times, and then honk the horn twice to get my phone paired.
That's
my commentary.
However, for some people, that is intuitive.
Okay, well, are you one of those people?
No.
Okay, all right. Now,
when I started to get into this, the way it makes sense to me, and I really want to say I love the car, and I love the technology that I see.
That is a very cute little car. Look at that. I pulled it up. I don't know what color you have, but...
I don't have lime green.
Okay. but here, I'll put it...
It's very cute.
Now, when it says it's the all-new 2016 Spark, total technology, total fun. So they're selling the technology in this car.
The concept of the technology.
Okay. Now, what is the concept of the technology?
It does work together, but where we get into issues, and it's not that it's hard to deal with, it's just a matter that you have to understand it, is where you get to these duplicative systems where, for example, you could use your smartphone for a certain thing like directions. You could use the car for directions. You know, you have to figure out what you're going to use for what. One of the things that I tried to do was to make certain that I had as little duplication as possible. And that's a rather difficult thing to do. And one of the reasons for doing that is that the duplication, if you're not careful, with all of the brands, all of the cars, all of the technologies, if you're not careful, the duplication can involve a certain amount of duplication of bill.
Right. So you are paying for perhaps a service that they have. Meanwhile, you are paying for your phone, and there is that duplication of service and of cash out.
But you can actually get through it because I'm sure that over the next few months, because this is the year with the 2016 cars when automation is coming in, you can really get through it if you push a bit in there. There are already some articles, and I put some links on the website, and more are going to come out so that you can see what is what. Part of the issue is that the terminology varies by brand. And it varies by brand of the technology, like Android and iOS, as well as the brand of car. So if you want to say, am I paying for such and such a service, you have to make sure you ask for it with the right brand name, because the brands for Ford are different from brands for General Motors.
So if I was interested, are CarPlay and Android Auto basically the same thing? I mean, they're similar. in what they're selling?
Yeah, they're basically if I say that they're basically the same thing, people are going to beat me up.
And, okay, but is it like Xbox versus PlayStation kind of thing?
Very much like that.
Okay.
But Android and iOS are different operating systems.
Absolutely.
So given that, they are basically the same.
Okay, well, that was the question I was going to ask you. So if I go in to buy a Chevy Spark, do I have the choice of CarPlay versus Android? Or like they did a few years ago with satellite radio providers, they had deals with those providers and you could only get one versus the other?
No, most of them now, from what I've seen, are supporting both Android and iOS.
Okay.
Where there is a distinction is if you are turning your car into a mobile hotspot so that you can get onto the internet, then there is a big distinction between the General Motors cars that use something called OnStar.
Yes.
And the Ford world, which uses something called Sync. Both have built-in speakers and microphones, so you can have hands-free control of the phone, whether it's inside the car or a connected device. But that environment is different for the two.
Jesse Feiler is with us. We're talking, he is our tech guru. We're talking about automobiles and automobile technology. I know people are saying this to the radio, so I just want to address the semi elephant in the room, which is, well, there, of course, safety is a main thing here, where you want to pay as much attention to your driving as you possibly can. So, and most of these systems are there so that, well, some don't even run when the car is in operation. But there is an attempt to try to keep, obviously, the driver safe. And if not, then make sure that it's being used by someone else in the vehicle. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, and they're actually addressing that in a rather clever way, because one of the parts of automation that's in cars and has been in cars for a while is the ability to pair a smartphone
right
with the audio system inside the car.
Yes.
That's been around for a while, and now we can do it even more with the advanced automation. And in both Android and iOS, what happens is we also have Bluetooth inside the car.
Yes.
So you can pair your phone or device with the car over Bluetooth. There are two ways of pairing a smartphone with a smart car. One is using Bluetooth, just as we've been able to do for several years now. The other is by plugging a cable from the phone into the car, into a USB port,
right,
a direct connection.
Yes.
And that is a critical, it turns out from looking at this and working with it, that turns out to be a very, very critical connection, because the connection between the plugged-in phone and the car will control the screen that's on the dashboard.
Yes.
It's a preferred connection. The other connections are the same as Bluetooth for getting phones or music with one another and using the speakers and so forth. But the preferred connection to the device on the dashboard is generally for a plugged-in phone.
And that is when it becomes rather intuitive, because you can press the button and or just say call Jesse Mobile.
Yes.
And then you're on.
Yes.
Yes.
And so that's what happens. But there are certain things. For instance, you can find when you're looking at that screen that's built into the dashboard, it may switch between something like CarPlay and the home screen for the car. And you have to switch back and forth because certain things are on one screen and certain things are on the other screen. But you get used to it very quickly.
Yeah.
So it does. It really does work. And it's some of the things that we're used to on smartphones, when they are run from inside the car using the screen of the dashboard and the voice control, are much more impressive. and much more useful than on a smartphone.
I'm going to go back to something that you said a few moments ago that we just touched on, and that is if you have a mobile hotspot in your car, if you have Wi-Fi in your car. That is fascinating and yet also a little bit because if, for example, I ran into this when I was on vacation a few weeks ago because I had kids in the car, and they're running off. They want the hotspot because they're running all of their stuff going on mm-hmm. in the back seat, so they have all their devices. So that's an issue, right? And then also,
what the issue of kids in the back seat?
No, that's a fine. That's fine. I invited them. They're there by my choice. That's fine. But we also have a long trip, and they want to be entertained in the way, and they're doing all kinds of things. So they're expecting that. This new generation is expecting that you have a way to provide them with some sort of internet access.
And
so there are multiple ways, and I guess here's what I'm missing in my question, which is, and as you indicated a few moments ago, this is a way that it can also be duplicated, and also where cost comes in, because you can do it through your car, or again, you can do it through your phone and other mobile devices.
Yeah, but it's just a matter of just being aware that, and the other thing that I think all the car companies do is when you buy a new car, and for two things happen. One, there was an article a couple of weeks ago in the New York Times about safety features in cars,
yes.
pointing out that there are really some fantastic new things coming along with regard to safety features in
yeah.
car. And you can buy them, and they're really not all that expensive when you buy a new car. They cannot be retrofitted.
Okay.
That's it.
What you get is what you get.
What you get is what you get. And if you're someone who trades in a car every 2 or 3 years, so be it. If you're someone who, like me, gets 8 or 10 years out of a car,
that's good for you, by the way. Yeah.
I keep kids out of the backseat.
Yeah. That's one way of doing it.
But no, so that's a serious concern. But when you look at them, just understanding what your ongoing costs are going to be is the critical thing, because everyone is giving you something like 3 to 6 months of free service over something.
Right.
And this doesn't apply just to technology. It applies to everything. But it's critical to ask, as to be an informed consumer, is to say, I get 3 to 6 months of this wonderful service, and it's wonderful. Thank you very much. I'm thrilled. What will the 7th month cost me? Or the 4th month? Depending.
Yes.
And that's a really important question to ask on anything like this, because that's the number you want to know. And that, I'm afraid, is the number that's really difficult to get.
And it is, I have gotten some of those numbers, and they're not cheap.
They're not, if you remove the duplication.
Yes.
And the duplication could come in any of the three major areas. It could be that the car's automation has something built into it that will involve a monthly charge, and that might duplicate other charges that you're paying. So the car might have something. You might have something through your internet service provider or your phone company, and you might have something through something else, like Sirius.
Yes.
So those are the things you have to look at, and you have to look at, and you have to say, is there duplication? Is it worth it to me? Some are total duplicates. Some are not total duplicates, just like a 95%. But a matter of being a conformed consumer and say, what is important to you? What can you get only from package A or package B? And for some of us, that's sort of, you know, fun to do, but
yes.
it's a little bit difficult to get the data.
I think you're absolutely right, and I had fun doing it. Once it's set up, it's all great.
Yeah.
Then it's really fun, unless somebody starts screwing around with your battery, and then you have to reset everything. Other than that, it's really fun. The thing that I wanted to you said that this 2016, this is the year that we're getting into automation. So what's coming down the pike? What is next?
Well, we know what's next.
Okay.
And as someone who's been involved in technology and software development for quite a while,
many years, yes.
As I started to look at this and look at it from a software developer's point of view, and I could see the challenges that they're confronting about making things fit together, I had a blinding flash, a realization of why, don't laugh, you're going to laugh at this.
No, probably not.
Why companies like Google or Alphabet and Apple are building cars.
Why?
It's because putting it together is very difficult, and maybe it's better to start over.
Think of it in a whole new way.
Reinvent the car.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to take long enough that it is worth getting on board now. Because even if it lasts for 10 years, even, you know, some of the self-driving cars are going to be out there in a few years, but it's worth using the technology that we have now, I really think. But this is why I think the self-driving cars are so attractive to the tech companies, because they really want to start over with the technology.
And it really is...
I think. That's my opinion.
Yes. They want to start over with the technology, both in the operation of the vehicle, but then also the other stuff.
Yeah.
Which you may or may not, you know,
right,
engage in. It's fascinating stuff. What links do you have up? What can we see if we go to North Country Consulting?
I have some guides to both what Apple CarPlay is and Android Auto, also companion pieces of how to use them, links to a number of other articles there, including the wonderful article from the Washington Post yesterday about the first Google self-driving car.
Had a bit of an accident, didn't it?
This is the first time they've taken the blame for it.
Okay. What, went to a bus, or what did it go to?
Yeah. Can I read the one quote?
Yes, of course.
One quote. This is from Matt McFarland of the Washington Post. It's from Google's monthly report, and he quotes, "We hope to handle situations like this more gracefully in the future. We clearly bear some responsibility. Because if our car hadn't moved, there wouldn't have been a collision."
They are taking the blame, aren't they?
I don't believe that was meant to be funny.
Well,
I'm sure
hilarious.
You'll apologize.
Yes, absolutely. Jesse Feiler provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. His website is northcountryconsulting.com, and you can find what we were just talking about, northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse, it's always a delight to have you here.
Good to
Thank
be
you.
Here.
By the way, just a reminder, if you, Jesse, if you stick around in town, I'll be talking to Twyla Tharp tonight at 7 o'clock at Page Hall in Albany. It is a on-stage event. It's going to be taking place at Page Hall in Albany, the downtown campus of SUNY. We'll be talking about her life, talking about her career. She has a fascinating initiative that she's doing in our region throughout, which will culminate in a premiere at SPAC this summer. So it'll be a lovely conversation.
Sounds great.
It'll be a lot of fun.
I think I have my dancing shoes with me.
I hope you do. Twyla Tharp, tonight. You can find out more by going to albany.edu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.